very happy to welcome everyone here tonight to a regular scheduled meeting of the City of Morro Bay Planning Commission, Tuesday, August 1st, 2023, in the Veterans Memorial Building. My name is William Roshan. I'm the chairperson, and I'd like to introduce our commissioners to you. First, Vice Chair Mike Rodriguez. Second, Commissioner Joseph Ingrafia. Next, Commissioner Asia King. And finally, Commissioner Eric Meyer. We do have a quorum tonight, and I'll call the meeting to order. If we could begin with a moment of silence. Thank you. Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you again and welcome. Welcome to those that are on the Zoom call as well. And it's nice to have so many of you here. I'm going to start with Planning Commissioner announcements. Are there any?
I don't have an announcement, but I just have a comment. As like a member of the public would have a comment at the beginning of a meeting. And that comment is for staff. I've noticed that there was a construction project on Beach Street, which is 220 Beach Blufftop Inn and Suites. And the Market Street frontage of that motel is landscaped with plastic plants. I'm just wondering if that is something that the city condones, or was that a requirement of that development? You don't have to answer that. I just want you guys to be aware of it. It's not something I think most of the city would be interested in seeing a lot of around.
I have no background.
Others? Hearing, Joe, did you have something? No? Hearing nothing, let me go straight to public comment. This is a time where the public has a chance to speak on something that's not on the agenda. If you want to speak on an agenda item because you have to leave, we're good with that too. Would anybody like to speak on issues other than the agenda? Oh, good. Hi, Betty.
Good evening. My name is Betty Winholtz. About a month or so ago, I asked about the extra high fence at the Old Women's Club on Piney Way, and that fence has been moved back and away on one half of the lot, but the other half of the lot, it's still easily over 5 feet and solid. And so I'm wondering if this is a compromise that's been made, or is the person just not applying to city standards?
Great. Scott, do you have any update on that?
I know we did make contact with the owner when it was brought to our attention. I'm not sure, and I know that some action had been taken. I don't know what the overall outcome was. I have to talk to code enforcement.
Is it possible to make one more follow-up call on that?
Well, yeah, I think I will, and then I'll also let Ms. Winholtz know what I find out about it, since she was the one that brought it to our attention.
Yeah, and Betty, thank you so much for keeping your eyes open. Anybody else? Let's see. Let me also welcome Anthony, Ray, and Chris in the back. Do we have anybody in the queue?
Thank you, Chair Roshan. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
With that, I'll close public comment and go to the consent calendar. Commissioners, questions. I do have questions on the July 5th, and I want to make some changes to that agenda. So let's deal with the other issues first. Are we good with June 6th and June 20th? Any questions, changes? None? So we can make a – do I have a motion to approve those 2 days?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
On July 5th, Scott, I'd like to suggest some additional notes. The notes are pretty good under the public speaking, but I did want to get some additional information down for James Papp, the architectural historian. Commissioners, if it's okay, I'll read out a quick thing, and then we can go ahead and vote on it if everybody's good. James Papp, architectural historian, gave a presentation, I'm going to say, referencing the history of Morro Bay related to the elementary school campus and preservation opportunities in Morro Bay. Next, under Glenn Silloway, I would like to say or add, Glenn spoke of the historic preservation ordinance, which has been recommended by the Planning Commission to City Council and was put together by the hard work of the Historical Society of Morro Bay. Glenn also described the value of the buildings we were meeting in and the exciting consideration and exploration of the elementary school as a civic campus for Morro Bay.
Friendly amendment?
Please.
Historical value. It wasn't just value.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, proposed draft ordinance.
Thank you. Accepted. Last one, James Papp. He spoke about, I'd like to take that out and said, explained the applicability and adaptability of a historic ordinance, its significant and historic significance and preservation efforts. That's at the further down the line. That was his like final comments, I think. Are we good?
Yeah. I motion to approve Chair Roshan's changes.
Thank you. Second?
As amended.
Thank
as
you.
As amended.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I'll do it. I don't think we saw.
Oh, I think you seconded. Yeah, okay, cool. With that, commissioners, we can go right to our first case. I'd like to introduce case number CDP22-004, CUP22-06. TTM22-04. The site is located on 1140 Alessandro Avenue. Nancy, you're up.
All right. This is a presentation of a conditional use permit, coastal development permit, and vesting tentative tract map for a new mixed-use project located at 1140 Alessandro. So this is existing site information. This is a view of the site from the Y intersection of Alessandro and Marengo. And the site is just over 10,000 square feet, existing site area, and that number does not include the additional square footage from the requested abandonment of the right-of-way on Marengo. There's an existing shop building, which you can see in the back in the kind of middle of the photo, that's used for construction business. It's been there since about 1969. And I did a yellow line across the middle just to show the approximate average elevation change from Alessandro to Marengo, which is an average of 10-foot grade difference. The site zoning and the overlay area, it's MCR, which is mixed use. It allows residential uses under the MCR special development standards as well as the R4 standards. S4 is an overlay area that includes special design review to maintain and enhance the character of the area. And this shows an image of the site, which is an odd triangular shape that you saw has an elevation change. Land use plan. The previous land use for this area was mixed use area, and the current land use is light industrial. And this image shows kind of the breakdown between light industrial and single family residential. And light industrial is a category that has three land use designations for industrial development to ensure that there are opportunities for both light industrial uses and uses that transition between light industrial and other uses, such as live-work, harbor-related, or those supporting emerging technologies for redevelopment of transitioning industrial areas. MCR Special Development Standards. Design standards are the development layout and design shall provide for compatibility of the uses. Features such as parking and building entrances shall be differentiated to the extent practical between commercial and residential on the same site. The project provides the driveway and vehicular circulation area along Alessandro, buffers the residential units from the industrial and the commercial uses to the east, which is really the north. So this, some of these directional references are wrong. It seems should have been east. And the commercial shop and garages for the project are only visible from Alessandro. The residential portion fronts on Marengo and appears to be a two-story complex of attached residential dwellings. The project is an excellent buffer project, and the two uses within the project are clearly differentiated. The other standard is side and rear yard setbacks shall be 5 feet, and parenthetical, it says larger setbacks may be required by the Planning Commission. All setbacks shall be landscaped. A minimum of 5 feet landscaping shall be provided in front of any building or parking lot facing a public street. The project is designed with a 5-foot setback along Marengo and a variable setback on Alessandro, ranging from 5 feet, which is Unit A and Unit E, to 32 feet, which are the center units. Both street frontages include a landscape area, and there is a generous amount of landscaping at the tip of the site near the Y intersection of Marengo and Alessandro. The development standards, this shows the standards, which is MCR S4, and then the subject property. And all of the items in black are in compliance, and I'll make a note that the exterior side yards, which is the majority of this property, on Alessandro and Marengo, can meet the MCR special development standards of 5 feet along Marengo and 5 feet along a couple sections of Alessandro with the granting of the abandonment. All other standards are met by this project. This is a continuation that shows height, allows 30 feet. The roof heights vary, but they're all below 28 feet from average natural grade. Lot coverage is just below the standard. Density is 5 units, where the calculation for this site, again, just using the base site and not the proposed abandonment area, is 6 units. And parking. Parking is 2 spaces for each residential unit, and the municipal code has no parking standard for live workspaces. So the director has the ability to look at other similar uses and apply a standard, but the current municipal code really doesn't have any uses that are similar to live work. So we examined jurisdictions in California that have live work, and we've applied a standard that we think was reasonable for this project, and it was actually higher than all of the other standards in the cities that we looked at, which is two car garage spaces for each residential use, and then 3 guest spaces for live work, including 1 van accessible. Right-of-way abandonment request. This is an image of the site, and the yellow is the new abandonment request, and the pink is the abandonment that was approved in 1992. The 1992 abandonment was approved by City Council, and it was 4 feet by about 113 feet in length, but it was later discovered that the encroaching building, which is the building, the existing building on the site in the corner, was encroaching more than 4 feet. So the plan for solving the encroachment by abandoning did not achieve the goal. So in recent talks with Public Works, the applicant and Public Works agreed that a continuous 5 feet from the southerly property line and rounding the corner would be more appropriate and it would solve the encroachment issue. Now we're at the project. So it's 5 residential units, 2 with live workspaces. And this image shows you where the garages are, and it shows you the 3 parking spaces on the site in the front and the one-way driveways that circulate in and then out. It also shows you on the tip of the site, on the left side, the live workspace on the lower level, and the existing building that is the one that encroaches over the property line that has been used since 1969 becomes the live workspace for Unit E. This is the residential floor plan. So this is the level right above the garage level, and this is the street level that Marengo will look at. So their front doors will open right up at grade on Marengo. And this shows you the 5 different units and the different configurations. They all each have some deck space. Most of it is on the north side, and one of them is on the right side of the project. And this also shows you a little chart with the sizes of the units. This is the upper floor plan, and this is a partial upper floor for all of these units. And just as a note, the third level is from 37 to 70% of the area of the second floor. This is the landscape plan, and this shows the landscaping along Marengo, which includes landscaping in the public right-of-way through agreement with Public Works. There is also landscaping along Alessandro in between the sidewalk that will be installed as part of the project and the parking area. And the Y intersection is landscaped for a community garden, or community garden, a common space garden for the residents of this property. Public-private site improvement plan. This shows you the off-site improvements. On Marengo is an extension of the asphalt curb, which I believe acts as a dike to control the storm water. And frontage improvements along Alessandro with a modification on the rounded edge to allow for the common space garden area. On site is permeable paving, catch basins at each unit on the Marengo Street frontage side, and a drainage collection system, including a cistern for use in landscape watering. The deferred frontage improvements on Marengo include concrete curb, gutter, and sidewalk. This project elevations, there's one view from Marengo on the top, which shows how each unit is differentiated from the neighboring unit by color, window changes, and roof variations. And the bottom view is from Alessandro. And this is a project perspective. There's the vacant site on the left photo and the photo simulation of the site on the right. One from Marengo and one from Alessandro. This is the project materials, lighting, and windows. So you can see it's neutral colors, and they vary to differentiate each unit from the next unit next to them. And there's 3 different proposed window treatments, and then it shows the lighting. And the staff recommendation is for approval of Resolution 13-23 with findings and conditions of approval for CUP 22-06. CDP 22-004, and the tentative tract map 22-04, which includes approval of the requested vacation of a portion of the right-of-way.
Nancy, thank you so much. Before we go to questions, commissioners, has there been any ex parte communication with the applicant?
Yeah, yes, I spoke on the telephone with the applicant today about an additional condition of approval.
Others?
And I met with the applicant on Sunday.
Okay, thank you very much. And we're lucky to have the architect for the applicant here tonight as well. So, questions for Nancy and staff? Eric?
So for our public works department, my question is, just for the sake of the public, the current landscape plan shows the little point of the project as being sort of a public garden, although maybe it's a private garden. I can't quite ascertain whether it's private or public. You'll tell me in a second, I'm sure. And then that is the sort of the temporary plan until such time as I understand it, the property adjacent to this one also goes up for redevelopment, at which time both that property and this property will then install curb and gutter along the side of Marengo. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, I believe that would be the appropriate time to install the curb gutter and sidewalk.
That's what does your agreement say is my question, essentially.
What's that?
The agreement that you have with the applicant states a certain point.
A deferral agreement basically that binds the applicant to install those improvements at, there's no timeline, but it is a agreement that's recorded with the county so that in the case you bring up, when the neighboring parcels do redevelop and those improvements become necessary, that it would be all done at that time. So.
And it would be to what the city considers like a street standard. You have some sort of standard, for this type of street?
Yeah, we have engineering standards for the type of street. So this is a local street. So,
Can you describe how the change, what would happen at the point of this project? In other words, where the two, where Marengo and Alessandro intersect now, there's this plus or minus 125 by 50-foot triangle. And that would go away, as I understand it. Am I correct?
I don't know what that would look like. That would be part of the public improvement plan design process. So that would be something that the applicant would have to do as part of their design. But there needs to be public improvements of a plan before, you know, as part of the process before the deferral can be recorded.
So the reason I bring all this up, and I'll go into this more in comments, but I'm just for the sake of discussion as we go forward, that triangle that's there, if we take out that little park, the street becomes 100 feet wide at the widest point there, and it's just a really awkward, something we need to talk about later.
Yeah. Got it. And just to follow up on that, I'm curious as well. These conditions that we put on deeds for future, you know, curb, gutter, sidewalks, roughly how many do you think we might have in Morro Bay, these sorts of expectations? Any way to know? Is that a researchable number?
Yeah, that's a researchable, can be researched. I believe we keep track of them in our database. As far as, I can.
Answer. Yeah, I think that could be a follow-up. We can talk about that more under new business when we get there. But it's of interest, I think, to the commission.
So my second question.
Oh, please.
Is which is the affordable unit?
Unit C.
Okay, and then my third question is the sculpture that's going in to the common area. What are the requirements around that? How is that sculpture chosen? It's in the public right-of-way. What's the process for that sculpture being approved?
It gets approved through the special encroachment agreement process.
So there, is there a public?
And there'd be a requirement for to be removed if the improvements to the intersection there, when Marengo offsite improvements are triggered, to move those out of that area.
I guess my question is a little bit more maybe citywide in some way. This is a private developer putting a sculpture on public property. It seems like it would want to go through the public process, but I haven't seen any notes about that.
So no, it doesn't. That wouldn't typically be the case. Our public works and engineering division regularly approve improvements in the right-of-way through the special encroachment agreement process. And that takes the shape of all different kinds of things. It could be mailboxes. It could be retaining walls. It could be any number of things that end up going in there, including special driveway treatments and things like that that end up in the right-of-way. So that's how it would move forward typically.
I think it's something the Planning Commission may want to discuss further.
Could I just interject on that? Any permanent items need a special encroachment permit. So most typically it's retaining walls, as Scott discussed. It's very common for throughout Morro Bay for landscaping and other features to be in the right-of-way. I mean, the right-of-ways in many of our streets are much wider than you would expect.
I don't disagree. I just have a question about art in public places mostly.
Are there questions, Eric?
That's it for now.
Mike, any questions for staff?
No, I just appreciate the detail that was put into the second report versus the first report we got. You know, I thought I had seen it all, but the first time I saw this project, I went out there for about 30 minutes, but after reading the report, I had to go out there again because of all the details. So I think it's really important that, you know, you get the report, but it's more important to go out there and kind of visualize it, what's happening, because there's a lot happening there. So I did spend a half an hour for the record today at the site again. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Asia, any questions for staff?
I was just wondering if you could maybe re-clarify for it. Looks like on the plans that there's sidewalk improvements on Alessandro, but not on Marengo, likely because of the space and right-of-way issues. And how does that tie into the deferment?
So I'll start, and then Eric can think what he's going to say next. Alessandro, the improvements are required with the project. So when they do the project, they'll be required to do the improvements. The end has been modified for Alessandro so that it's not taking up a lot of space away from the common space garden that's been agreed upon between Public Works and the applicant. Marengo, they're just doing asphalt curb continuation, which is there to control a stormwater issue. And then Eric can talk about the deferment.
Yes, so as part of the deferral agreement, that those improvements, the curb gutter sidewalk, need to be designed. Mm-hmm. So that is part of the agreement, that during the preparation of public improvement plans, those would be shown and reviewed by city staff.
Asia, good. Joe, questions?
Yeah, I have a few questions. You know, Nancy, with respect to the affordable housing unit, what would be mathematical formula, whether it's for sale or rent, so we'd have some idea of pricing or renting of this affordable?
So the standard that we've put into the conditions is lower income, so that we would check with the requirements for what lower income is at the time the unit's going to be available. Whether it's for sale or for rent is up to the applicant. So it's just using a formula based on Haslow's criteria for affordable at that income level.
Okay.
Can I ask, Joe, who manages that? Is that done by the applicant?
Yes.
Is there any sort of public review?
Well, they need to run any sales prices and calculations through the city, and it's deed restricted. So anytime the property would change hands, then we would be.
Is there any accounting on a yearly, annual basis?
There is income verifications if it's a rental. If it's sold, then it's not looked at again until it's resold.
Thank you. Sorry, Joe.
Sorry. I believe Betty raised the question. If the property is sold with each of these five units as fee simples, given that each of the households is a pretty small plot, any problems with selling them as fee simple with such small lots as the law now stands, or
it's a townhome map, so no.
Okay.
Like basically footprint lots.
Third thing, I over the years been particularly interested in these landscaping plans that sometimes, for being kind of an amateur gardener myself, and I see things die out and don't understand why, that we might have a mechanism to sort of revisit the plan a year or two or 3 years later to see how things have turned out in terms of bushes and trees, and maybe ask the applicant to, you know, supplement and put in a few more things because some have died. Is there any provision within the city that goes back and looks at these things a few years later?
There's not a provision for doing that, but there is a provision in the land use plan that says that the landscaping, I believe it's within 5 years, must 90% cover all of the bare areas. But there is no mechanism that the city has for making sure that happens.
So there is no enforcement?
Not currently, but I suppose a neighbor could call and say it looks like 70% to me.
But that's, to be clear, that's how enforcement would work right now in Morro Bay, is it would be brought to the attention of the city by a concerned someone.
Yes.
Or staff would have to notice it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, landscape covering the land is not quite the same as a tree that was originally planted simply died. I mean, it seems to me that it might even be satisfying your standard if there were plants in place of a tree that had formerly been planted. So that's not really.
I mean, street trees, if they die, have to be replaced.
Okay, well, these would be street trees then, would they not?
The majority of the trees are along the street,
yeah.
And they're in the right of way.
And then the final question I have is, you know, I was looking at the parking area, which seems like a pretty big expanse of parking, although I was grateful that it was permeable. And I was wondering if we might be able to put up, you know, some kind of a picket fence or a wall or something that from the street might break up some of the expanse of the view of the parking area. But then I was aware that if you put up some kind of a fence, it might interfere with the three parking spaces. So that's my question. Would it be possible to put up a fence and still be able to have doors open to allow people exit and exit from a parked vehicle?
And we can ask the applicant and or the designer, but I think since the parking is right along the inside edge of the property line, if you put a fence there, and the fence on a street would be 3 feet or 4 feet to meet the standards,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much it would block and block from commercial.
You mean block the... Well,
the use on the other side of the Alessandro is commercial and industrial.
I was only asking with respect to the parked vehicles, though. What I had in mind was a kind of an attractive rail fence, something or other.
Why don't we raise that with the applicant?
Okay.
And I'd like to piggyback on what Commissioner Ngrafia said about the landscaping, because when I did walk the perimeter, I noticed that a majority of the landscaping would be on the perimeter, right, where people would see it. A lot of times you have these developments, it's inside. Where I live, all of the landscaping is inside. So we would want to manage that landscaping or at least try to work with the applicant to make sure that it looks good because it runs the whole perimeter of the property. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I didn't want to deal with it now. I'd rather have the applicant tell us how they're going to do that.
Eric, last comment.
With respect to the use table associated with the live-work units, is it the use table associated with the underlying zone, or is it the use, or what? Which use table should we be looking at for allowed uses in the live work units?
You'd look under the zoning.
Okay.
So right now it's the MCR zoning, and it will be changing if we are successful in getting our new zoning code.
My question is essentially, is retail an allowed use?
Not for live work.
Okay. Thanks.
Commissioners, thank you. I'd like now to invite the applicant and the architect to present. I would like to say thank you to them that this was reviewed in a conceptual form, and They did respond to many of the directions offered by the Planning Commission. So welcome.
Okay, thank you very much, Commissioners. And thanks for the review of the project. We've worked for basically, you know, for years with the city staff to fill out this project from the original conceptual plan. And the basis of the plan was to create live workspaces in Morro Bay, both for to create small time entrepreneurs, and to encourage no commute work zones. This would meet almost all the greenhouse gas emission goals that the city's proposed or propounds upon. Excuse me. So, with this site, with the industrial on one side and the residential on the other, it seemed to set itself up as a bifurcated site, with the uses, with the commercial uses located to the Alessandra side, which is adjacent to and facing the industrial area, and the residential uses located and to the Marengo side. So you get you use it as a buffer zone between the two zones, and that was my thought process in creating this project. I bought the property from Adele Costas. She and her husband had basically owned this property for time immemorial, basically. Originally, it was that whole site down to Quintana was a lumber yard, which they ran in the 40s and 50s. Then it became he took his lumber yard business and then turned that into and kept the trucks and became a trucking firm. So the shop building I've used for the last 30 years was a diesel repair shop and was a maintenance shop for his trucking firm. When the lumber yard went out of business, he sold off a couple parcels to both, you know, on the Quintana side. They continued to live above and behind my parcel on the Marengo side. I had the pleasure of being her friend for almost 28 years till she passed. And the stories she used to tell about Morro Bay were just incredible. So that site has always been always been a commercial site. And I wanted to keep that feeling there, and then also, you know, for the historical sense, but also to allow people to do what I've basically done here, which is to have a business, to be able to live in this area, and to be able to support a family, a couple families, through creating a business and creating work here. It's always one of the biggest problems that I always found in living here was, how do you make a living? And so that was the genesis, and that was the thought process behind this project, as to allow somebody else in the future to be able to do what I've had the pleasure of being able to do here. So, Greg, do you have anything that you would like to say to this, or?
The only thing I have is really technical. The question was raised, what would happen in that triangular portion when the eventual frontage improvements on Marengo were undertaken? And some of that would need to be negotiated and worked out. But one of the technical things that would probably be required is a 15-foot inside diameter curb radius moving between the two streets, and whether you pave everything to the point or create some kind of an island structure, that would need to be discussed and negotiated. but it would pretty much not even bisect it. It would wipe out most of the community garden when that is accomplished. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I measured it, but it comes closer to the round portion on the west side of the property than it does to the point. that's the thing that, you know, is really the truth of it.
Essentially, it would be where that wooden fence is now. So the other question about that area and why I wanted to work with the city to make it vegetative instead of asphalt, mm-hmm. was for several reasons. One, more asphalt, you know, more heat, more, just works against all of the principles we're trying to propose. The other thing is, you know, this would give us the opportunity to have that buffer zone on that apex. It also, because of the transition on that from street to street, any paving there is basically a 6 to 10 foot vertical drop over a matter of 10 or 12 feet. So you essentially have a 30% to 45% grade there, which is, you know, is wouldn't pass any of the safety standards for street engineering. As to the community garden, quote unquote, this would pretty much need to be worked out with the city, but my thoughts on it right now would be that it would be administered through the HOA, through the CCNRs, to allow it to be controlled and to be optimally used. You know, probably first use would be given potentially to any of the owners that would want to use some of the portion for their own food production. Secondly, it would be offered to the community for anybody there that would like to use some of that space for their food production. Third, you know, as a final option, if there are no takers, because the garden's a lot of work, as Commissioner Groffia knows, it would then be maintained by the landscape operation, and then would be, you know, any food produced would be offered to the community first, and then to probably to Glean Slow after that. So it would be, you know, essentially be able to be produced and go to the food bank. As for landscape maintenance, any landscaping contract that's performed on, you know, any construction site, the conditions of landscaping require that the landscaper at 1 year replace any plants that have died or aren't thriving. So those would be, that is a standard proposal in any landscape contract. I don't have any problem with a condition on the plans, and I believe there are in the planning, typically in the planning documents, there are, you know, that the landscape should be maintained as per the plans for 1 year and 5 year intervals, and so I don't have any problem with that being conditioned in the planning document. So is there any questions right off that you'd like to ask? Or?
So let me start with Joe. Let's see, you were questioning that the parking side and had
some ideas. I understand the difficulty. I probably even know the answer, but I was just wondering if there was enough space to put some kind of attractive ornamental fence between those two driveway entrances and still have enough convenient room for somebody to get out of their car in the driver's seat and after they parked it, that's all.
It becomes problematic because if you put it too close to the sidewalk, you know, then you're abutting the sidewalk with a fence. You know, if you put it too close to, if I remember right, it's about a 5 foot landscape area there. So you open a car door, that's 3 feet. You need another foot to swing around that car door. You know, that may be problematic. There are trees, street trees proposed for that to get, to help break up that that facade and to give some buffer on that side. But if you look, you know, that is also on the quote unquote industrial side. So if you look further down that street, what's been done all up and down Quintana is not a very verdant area. So
we can talk about this further with them.
But I look at the landscape, we are proposing landscaping in on that. So it would probably be a medium height landscape. You know, there will be some bushes there, but as far as a hardscape, I'm a little concerned with that.
Asia.
Yeah, thank you. Because of the history of the site being involved with trucking and different industrial uses, I'm wondering, I just want to know if care is being taken to remediate the site since housing is going to be put on there. I'm sure there are regulations and requirements with that, and I just want to make sure it's part of the city's agreement. Or
when I bought the property in 92, we did a site survey on it, and there was no contamination, site contamination. There was no petrochemical spills or stuff. Basically, it was just a bunch of junk that was there. So we cleaned those up, and since then, there hasn't been any hydrochemical usage on the site other than a truck being parked there like it would be in your driveway.
So, Jerry, those soils reports are part of the application process?
Yeah, they're usually not a contamination report because there usually isn't a requirement for that. And I don't, over the 30 years, I haven't seen any contamination on the site at all.
Was your site survey a phase one, or was it just a survey?
There was not an environmental report. Okay. It wasn't a phased report. What it was was a visual survey by the soil engineer.
And let me take it back to Scott. Scott, is there a requirement?
There's no requirement. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Asia?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, something that's changing, not changing uses, but, you know, transitioning to somewhere there's going to be families and people living. Mm-hmm. I guess I would just want to see something that's at least as rigorous as if a regular house were to be built there. So,
well, if I may interject here, there, most of that site will either be the soils there will require a excavation to a certain depth, and I'm not sure what the depth will be. It'll also require a scarification and a recompaction, and then all of that paving area and stuff, and any of the building sites will then have to have engineered approved fill replaced and recompacted underneath. So that would eliminate any surface contamination that could possibly be there.
Others? No. Mike, questions?
No, I just had a comment that, you know, we've had transitional areas before. I can remember a recent project where one home was built with Sean Green's recently, like a block away. So this kind of reminded me of that, but more intense, of course, six properties or five. But again, you know, in a transitional area, you've got to be really flexible, and there's a lot going on. So I can appreciate Commissioner King's comment about making sure it works for mm-hmm. both sides. Mm-hmm. So that's all I'll say at this point until we get further public comments.
Eric, questions for the applicant?
Yeah, first of all, I thought you did a very, very considerate program on the site. It's a very difficult site, and it was impressive to see the level of detail. But I would like to hear a little bit on one subject from you and then from the public, and that subject is the landscape on the Marengo side, the temporary, let's call it, interim landscape. That little pathway, is it a DG path that runs along in front of the units, or what is that pathway?
That's a water course dry stream bed.
Okay.
So that would actually be a Cobble
yeah.
River.
Yeah, okay. And then
and that would tie into the water catchment.
So and I'm just going to bring this up to ask the question of the public so when they come up and give testimony, they might include their thoughts. If you live in the neighborhood, I really want to hear how you feel about your street, especially that point of that street where Marengo meets Alessandro, what you think that street should look like. Should that be a little garden right there, or should we repave all that into a giant intersection? Thank you.
I would like to make one comment on that. Is quite a few times in the morning I show up and I'm shooing off people that have camped there. And so, you know, I think the problem there has basically been getting worse. I've had people, at one point somebody abandoned 10 cars on that site.
Yeah, as I walked it, I saw beer cans on the side of the street today.
And I'd cleaned that up the day before. So
just for clarification, yep. That garden area would primarily be private. I know you said that there's potential for community access.
It will not be fenced off. It'll okay, be.
That's what I'm wondering.
You know, there, it's a natural courseway, mm-hmm. So there are pathways through it. So it'd be for the enjoyment of the community. And that would be stated in the HOA agreement.
I guess my question is, at this point, have you decided it is for sale or it is for rental? Where are you in that process?
Don't know yet. It all depends.
And at what point does that become, a city issue for us?
Well, the application has a map, so whether he decides to sell the units right away or not is sort of irrelevant to the process. The approval includes a map, so he would be able to sell it at any point once it's constructed to... you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the road.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it. I'd like to now go to public comment. We have at least one letter, which is really helpful, but I want to invite the public that's here to come up, and you have 3 minutes to make your comments. And if you would, tell us your name.
Hi. My name is Jonathan King. I live at 1130 Marengo Drive, and have lived there for 9 years. I lived there in the 80s. The house I live in has been in my family since 64, so I spent more or less on and off 10 years there as a kid growing up until I went into the service. So I'm familiar with that area and the traffic patterns and stuff. Costa was mentioned. Costa was a good neighbor. The trucks came and went, but there wasn't a lot of traffic other than that, just trucks going. Now, we have what's going to be across the street from this development is a self-storage place where there's a lot of traffic. And if you put 6 units or 5 units with people who are working in the same place that they are living, you're going to have a lot of customers coming in, and three parking spaces isn't going to do it. And there's times when there's no parking available on Alessandro over there because of people that park there and leave their cars and stuff. And on the Marengo side, in 9 years, I've had my mailbox whacked. They're on the other side that's going to be where the front doors are going to face. I've had my mailboxes whacked by cars at night 3 times. And you're going to, those trees are going to get hit. And I was worried about the front door when I saw the guy that got the yellow card. But my worry is traffic, because Marengo is a very thin street. I mean, a very narrow street, and when cars are parked on either side of it, you have to thread a needle. It's really, you can't even get 2 cars through at the same time. And with people visiting this 6-unit thing, they're going to be parking up on Marengo. They're not going to park on the Alessandro side. And that's going to create a lot more problems with traffic. And it's, I think it's a safety hazard that you guys should think about. And this is not the right place for me to bring it up, but I will anyway, because I think the whole idea of these 15-minute cities in a place like Morro Bay is ludicrous. And I think the city should rethink the whole thing. I'm looking at 10,000 feet. And 5 or 6 units where the people are going to be having workspaces in there, too. That's less than 2,000 square feet a unit. That's a small house, and you're going to have a business there, too, and people coming and going. That's my concern. I don't think the traffic on the streets can handle a development like this. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Others, comments? Welcome. Please tell us your name if you'd like to.
My name is Kathy Bryan, and I live at 1180 Marengo Drive. My only concern right now is that, following him, is the traffic, because you have a trucking company on one side that's coming out. You've got the houses up above us on Las Tunas and those streets that come down on that street, and then you've got Marengo Drive coming out also. You build these buildings, you're going to have a lot of traffic coming to that corner, and it doesn't have a stop sign. So I think that's something you really need to consider. And as far as you mentioned, at that corner, that small V at the end, what I would say is keep it low. Whatever you put in there, keep it low so it doesn't block the traffic, so we can see when, you know, without getting hit. Thank you.
Thank you. Others? Welcome, Betty.
Thank you. Betty Winholtz again. I have four questions and some comments. My questions have to do with the order of things. I'm always about process. And does the track MAC need to be recorded before or after the quit claim? And how does that work in terms of orderliness? And then my other question was about one of the driveways, and I think it's the westerly one. Is the driveway really long enough, or will the car be hanging out at the end on that narrow space? Those are two questions. Let's see, was there a part to that I didn't mention? Okay, and the comment about a van access, are we referring to ADA van access because this is partially commercial, or is that being, this has nothing to do with ADA? Just, I have a question about ADA.
We'll ask, yeah.
Okay, thank you. And then where's my last question? The address for this project is on Alessandro. All the doors are facing Marengo. So I'm assuming that you're switching addresses. And if that's true, then isn't the front of the buildings on Marengo and the back is on Alessandro? And so why are you requiring only 5 feet on the front and the back? Because it sounded like you were saying 5 feet was on the side, and that didn't make sense because they're all attached, which brings me to my next question. Is this really a condominium project? And not, because they're not separate houses, they're all attached, and yet tonight I heard the term townhouses, and that wasn't in the staff report. So I don't know what this project is, so how can you decide whether it's meeting its standards? Because there's no label. I don't know what it is you're describing here. Then a couple of comments related to what I think should be in the conditions, and it's been mentioned several times tonight about this deferral of improvements on Marengo. That should absolutely have a deadline. That just doesn't make sense, that otherwise it becomes in perpetuity, and who knows if the other side of Marengo will ever get developed. So that doesn't make sense to me. The other thing is about the trees. There was no comment about trees or lands in the thing, and yet we know there's a huge, beautiful cypress that's going to get removed. And so are we doing a two-to-one thing again, or there's nothing in the conditions about trees? Mentioned about that. I would completely support the residents that have talked about the trouble with parking and how that's going to become an issue for them. And maybe you need to think about a stop sign, and maybe that needs to be part of the conditions as well. Was there something else? And then the size of the lots, I would express my concern, as I did in my note to you, that they're all substandard, and yet this is really just a two standard regular lots.
Thanks, Betty, very much. Others? Welcome.
Good evening, Commissioners. Paul Donnelly of Mall Bay. Also, I'm really kind of concerned about the parking situation that you're going to create. And I guess there's 5 two-car garages that are planned, but I don't know what regulations you have or requirements to keep those in perpetuity as a place to enclose vehicles, because I can see it being converted to another shop, some business enterprise in those garages, which then to places the cars out onto the street. It's already impacted already. Commissioner Roshan, you said something about a complaint about if something wasn't being landscaped properly. Years ago, the San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury wrote a report to the City of Morro Bay admonishing for its lack of code enforcement, and I want to read their conclusion. It says, while Morro Bay officials provide a wide range of options for its residents to communicate with them, meaning the code enforcement and police, the effectiveness of these communications cannot be determined, and so many options may lead to confusion. If efforts to address code violations via complaint-driven process can create the impression that the city personnel do not see the problems unless reported. While the current complaint-driven process may result in correction of a single violation, similar violations at other locations in the city are not identified and therefore not addressed. This results in inconsistent enforcement, which can be perceived as unfair. Absence the existence of code-effective code enforcement, tracking capabilities, comprehensive programs to ensure enforcement plans cannot be developed. The ability to track repeat municipal code enforcement is limited. So the idea behind all this is that the city should be proactive and look for these violations so that they don't become problematic over time and you can't do anything about it. The other thing is, if they were to convert these garages into another use, a business use, is there some sort of code that speaks to that, or would they have to get another business license, another minor use permit to make that conversion, and then some fine offset for the parking that would be displaced? Thank you.
Paul, thanks very much. Others? Welcome.
Good evening. It's good to be back.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. My name is Terry Simons. I live at 1045 Alessandro Street. You were asking for someone in the neighborhood to speak to this. I think you heard some Marengo people. I'm very familiar with the site and the streets. And quite frankly, I have to tell you that Alessandro Marengo Y seems to operate fairly efficiently. And my best recommendation would be that if you're going to give the developer additional property, give him the whole point. Give them the whole thing. Return that out of the public ownership and back onto the tax rolls, and reserve that for the future parking need that this site is going to generate if developed the way it's currently proposed, because there is an incredible perceivable shortfall based on my 50 years of experience of doing building and development that this site is going to create in the neighborhood for parking. I live in the neighborhood, and right now we have to be ever vigilant for abandoned vehicles, abandoned trailers, parked trailers, people that have had problems in their neighborhood with their travel trailers, and so they bring them down into our neighborhood and park them there, and then we have to call code enforcement and get it done. It's a ongoing day-by-day event. The storage units across the street present some additional problems, aside from the fact that it's a notorious drug location, and there have been 2 drug-related deaths and a murder in that facility. It's a tough neighborhood. The bringing of residential users onto this property, I think, is fundamentally a good thing. I'm not sure that I agree that there are 5 units. I actually see 7 units going into this property. But unfortunately, it appears there's no standard for what constitutes a live-work universe. Live-work unit, and there's no parking standard for it. And so because there's no parking standard, no objective standard, whereas most of the communities in the county have them, I did the first live-work units in San Luis Obispo over 30 years ago, and we worked with the city to develop that standard. I'm concerned that we don't have standards where we should, and it's created a situation where we have allowed our development department to make subjective opinions. I'm particularly concerned on this project because the staff report says, well, we kind of looked at some other cities and we looked at the parking and it seemed okay. That makes it absolutely impossible to bring a writ of mandate for failure to enforce a county or city ordinance when there is no ordinance in place, and the decision makers made the decision based on an opinion rather than on a code. Let's get some standards developed. Thank you.
Terry, well said. Thank you. Others? Welcome.
Thank you. Linda Donnelly, and we live on Pacific Street, right around the corner from this project, proposed project. So you asked about that corner area and should you pave it or not. I'm not in favor of you paving it. I mean, if you just go to San Luis Obispo and you see everywhere they put cement, you know, it's like you can't even pull out a Starbucks on Choro anymore because they, well, never mind, I didn't want to go there. So then one of the biggest items I'm seeing is that this project doesn't require, as far as I'm understanding, curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Is that true? You might answer that later. But we're giving away a portion of it, the street that it's going to be built on, but we're not getting anything back as a city. We're not getting the curb, gutter, and sidewalk that should be required in standards, and I believe it's also in our whatever you call the zoning and our ordinance codes and whatever, when you develop things here. And that's just like what Terry said, there's no standards. And if we have standards, which I really believe there are standards there at the development department, why aren't they using them? I just don't understand that part. Why? Why does the city not, they don't act consistent with projects? And then as far as what people said about the storage unit across the street, I just rented a little unit in there. And my son used to have a unit. We come and we go, and we just don't push a button and drive in. You've got to park, get out of your car, put your code in, go in. So you have traffic on, I believe it's Alessandro, going into, waiting to the gate to open. You know, so, and I believe what everybody else is saying is, like, people park on the street. They use a garage for something else, and they tend to park on the street. I mean, you just drive up Pacific. I mean, we've had trouble on that street. I'm very careful when I come up Kings and I turn onto Pacific because there's no light, and people walk in the dark. You know, so I'm just saying they're going to be parking there. It's going to be a problem for the neighborhoods. And even though that area is a very seemingly nobody really knows where that area is, those of us who live there, we know because we drive there. We walk in those areas. So thank you, but I really am concerned about no curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Why is that? Thank you.
Linda, thank you. Others for public comment?
I have one thing really briefly.
Really briefly, Terry.
And it's that microphone.
Terry, you need to come up front.
Jonathan King again. It's about the garden. As I'm an amateur gardener, and I have gardening all in my house front and back, and it's not going to work. The critters and the gophers are going to tear everything up, and you're going to end up with a weed patch. That's, you know, unless
I do relate.
Thing,
yeah.
I just wanted to point that out.
Thanks, Jonathan. Okay, Anthony. Anybody in the queue with a hand raised?
Thank you, Chair Roshan. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
No raised hands. With that, I'd like to close public comment. And let me ask staff, are you prepared? I think we should go through these questions as well as we can. A lot of good points have been made. Let's just start at the back and go backwards. The standards, can you be specific, and I don't know if this is a Nancy or a Scott question, but the reason there are no standards is because this is a live-work unit? Is that what we're talking about?
We don't have an ordinance. Our ordinances very old, dates back to 1995 and earlier, and there's no standard in it for live-work units. So, and the ordinance, when we'd like from the parking standard concept for them, when we don't have a type of use identified in the zoning code with a parking standard, it says that authority is then given to the director. And so we went and looked around to come up with to come
so
up
that's
with the
reason on the standards. We're calling this live-work. What does that allow that?
It'll,
in other words, what does that label provide for the applicant?
It provides a residential space and then a space that can be utilized for commercial purposes. So you'll have two of those in the project, and so they'll be able to have a portion of two of the units that can be utilized for commercial purposes. You know, kind of like
a portion of two of the units.
Correct.
And is that spelled out in terms of square footages?
It is on the plans.
Okay. So in other words, that's I'm trying to be clear for the questions because I think there's confusion about that. Yeah. And then that
Bill, just to clarify, since we're here,
okay.
Which units would those be? Can you identify that at this point?
Yes, it's unit A and E. So the one on the closest to the Y intersection and the one on the other property line.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Can you give us the square footages? Do we have those?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is for the workspace in those two units.
So unit A, the workspace is 786 square feet, and unit E, it's 1,184 square feet.
Okay, thank you.
And live work is typically the person that lives upstairs walks downstairs and works. So furniture maker, artist, it's not retail. It's usually very low intensity.
And in fact, that's actually what it is you have to live there to work there.
Yes.
But again, what kind of enforcement, what do you guys think? How does that, live work is an unusual type. I mean,
certainly we don't have a lot of spaces in town that are like that. We have some. I mean, it's a type of use that's actually, in some instances, organic. It's something that's, you know, that exists in certain areas of town, just by the way the developments on properties has transformed over time. In this instance, it's being approved that way, and so we would have enforcement ability to enforce the conditions that are placed on the project and the overall approval were the Planning Commission to approve it this evening.
Right.
Would if this were just condos minus the two units which are live work, if it were just five condos, would the parking standards be met by the parking that's on this project? Or has it exceeded the parking standards for five condos, is my question.
It does exceed.
By how many spaces?
Well, I mean, I don't think we have a condo ordinance, but I mean, assuming each residential condo was required to have two parking spaces, it would be the same garage parking space requirement, plus this one has three other spaces, one which is van accessible, and yes, that is to meet the ADA requirement for the
right.
Guest.
Right, so that is ADA, yeah,
yes.
To Betty's question. Yeah. But the point is that if this was a condo project, we have three more parking spaces than would be required under that definition. Is that what you're saying?
This project has three more spaces than would be required for a condo.
Right. Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Right.
And just one more clarification. Condo versus townhouse, please define. Back to Betty. Give us what a condo versus a townhouse. I have a townhouse.
So what often goes with the condo description is airspace. The airspace is described in the white papers for the development. And you can stack condominiums on top of one another if you so choose. Townhomes don't. They have footprints, so they're footprint lots, and the development stays within those footprints, even if they do share, you know, maybe some sort of, you know, connection between the units that are, you know, the units will stand by themselves, but they'll have some sort of, you know, the material that's on the exterior covering of the thing will make it appear as one building, but mm-hmm. they'll be designed as standalone, separate individual units.
So let me keep going through the questions, and we can go deeper, mm-hmm. commissioners. Can we get clear on why the curb, sidewalk, and gutters are being not required at this point?
On Marengo specifically.
Yes.
Because they are putting them in on Alessandra.
Yes.
I'm going to I'll start, and then I'll allow our city engineer to weigh in to fill in the blanks. So we do have the ability in our municipal code to defer improvements, you know, if it creates kind of odd situations. And in this instance, you don't get the full development along the street there. You end up with an improvement that's going to stick out into what appears to be the street. And those are not ideal situations, which is oftentimes why we will defer the improvements until we can get the full block worth of those improvements, so you don't have something that sticks out and becomes a hazard. And maybe there are some other reasons that our city engineer would like to convey beyond what I just expressed.
Yes, that's with this is a trick because these are both local streets, but mm-hmm. Alessandro has all the commercial. This backs up to the back of it is so. The local street standard, there is no curb, gutter, and sidewalk. It's only triggered because of the use. So unless the other parcels on this street have similar triggering, you know, you're just going to have this one piece of sidewalk, curb, gutter, and sidewalk. The other side of Marengo will never be, unless it's the use has changed or, you know, it's, but even if the homes were redeveloped, it would not trigger frontage improvements. So you'll have it on one side. And so the thought would be you wait until that whole side is ready, and then you have continuous curb, gutter, and sidewalk. It creates maintenance challenges when you just do improvements in certain pieces. And we see that around Morro Bay. And
so it's likely this would never be triggered.
It is likely, yes.
Okay. Future parking needs. Terry Simons came up with the idea of the corner piece. I'm wondering if during this hearing, I'm not sure what our opportunities are as commissioners relative to that piece. That's Public Works, right? The triangle piece, the what they're calling the community garden. What influence do we even have over that, Scott?
You don't have much. I think part of the issue with what Mr. Simons came up with there is if you give away the corner, then and we ever do get those improvements there, you don't have the room to make them meet now. So that becomes an issue. And that, as was expressed by the community that lives in that area, Marengo is narrow. And so that would, if you pushed you can't really push the improvements further out into the street because it would further narrow the improved road. And I don't think anybody wants that. So so that becomes problematic, I guess.
So can you tell us and the public why are we not addressing this issue now, the use on the corner, the triangle? Why is that being an in-between, right? We're going to make it a garden for now, but it could end up being a street. It could end up being parking lot.
It could end up being, yeah, right now they're proposing to have it as a garden. The
I'm just wondering why we're not working with Public Works to get it resolved now.
I think one of the reasons is outside of the property line. So this applicant has brought a project to be on their project. They are imposed with some public improvements, but I'm not sure to hold up this project to work on how that Y intersection looks is fair to the applicant.
They are asking for public right-of-way, so I do think there's a discussion to be had. They are asking for setback exceptions, etc. So there is a
I guess I'm trying to just understand the responsibility of the process.
So, I mean, without the curb, gutter, and sidewalk improvements on Marengo, if we put those in, there's not going to be a community garden. It reduces dramatically. It reduces the space. As part of that, that's I think Commissioner Meyer asked a good question. Do you want it to be paved, or would you prefer it to have some landscaping there, at least in the near term? It's just a good question. It ends up being, kind of a weird paved area if you pave it all over, and there's a slope there, so it creates sort of problems until you put the the curb gutter and sidewalk in, and then it connects down to Alessandra.
I guess if I was a resident, I would be asking the same question, like, why is there no certainty now? And you're saying it's basically because we're not putting the improvements in on
so the
Marengo
side. Is not compelled to do anything with that area. They could just leave it be weeds. I think it's nice that that they don't want to do that. I mean, I think that's great that they're willing to, like, landscape it and make it look nice for the neighborhood, you know, versus, you know, the sort of undeveloped state that it's in now. I mean, that's I think, a benefit, arguably. You know, if they were putting the, I think this discussion sort of becomes moot if they're putting the improvements in, because, again, most of that area goes away when you connect the sidewalks.
The reason that it's in limbo right now is because we're not doing the improvements.
It's because there's a deferral, yeah.
Yeah, because of the deferral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other questions? Van access, we know that is ADA. The question on the addresses. Nancy, do you know how that's going to work?
Addresses are assigned when building permit applications are submitted.
And the fact that the front doors are now opposite
they will likely have a Marengo address. It's really whatever assists emergency personnel to find the logical location of the unit.
And I'm with you. How does that impact the setbacks?
So addressing has nothing to do with the front side or rear setback of the lot. It's determined by definition in the code, and the code says your narrowest frontage is your front, and then your is your front, and then the opposite of that is the back. So it goes to a point. So you have the front, and the front is at the point there at Marengo and Alessandra where they come together. The rear is opposite that, and the sides are Marengo.
And that's per regulation, and that's what the way it's been determined.
Yes, per definition in the code, yes.
Trees. I want to thank the applicant for the landscape map. That was a nice addition. Existing trees, are we taking all the trees down?
All of the trees shown on the site plan are not within the property line. They're close, but they're on the adjacent properties, including the right-of-way.
Ah. Traffic safety. I'm not sure how to address that in this situation. I'm sure there was no requirement for a traffic study for this project.
It's too small.
Yeah. And do you have anything you could offer? We heard quite a few concerns around traffic.
The one thing I would like to ask,
sure,
specifically, because it's a health and safety, would be a stop sign, potentially a stop sign because of the new traffic.
I mean, I don't... Eric may want to, you know, weigh in on how we determine when stop signs go in related to warrants and those types of things.
Yeah, there's a warrant analysis process for doing a stop sign for sure. And I don't know if would be a condition that could be looked at, some kind of traffic. But, you know, as far as this property generating more traffic and more parking, that's something I haven't personally looked at. So,
is there an accident history at the Y that the city has tracked, or does the city track? I'm sure you must.
Yeah, we can certainly look into that. I don't know the answer to that.
Commissioners, did I miss some of the questions that were asked? Joe?
There was a suggestion by one of the speakers that if in the future one or more of the garages are converted to ADUs, that would increase the parking difficulties. But I'm thinking, were that to happen, then there would be inadequate parking space on site for the various units. Is that correct? In effect, those garages could not be converted to ADUs?
That's not correct.
Yeah. Oh.
So just like any single-family home, they have two parking spaces. If they convert their garage to an ADU, they're not required to replace the lost parking.
So there would be a situation where there would be no parking on site?
Potentially, just like any other single-family home that did the same thing.
And let's be clear, that's state law.
But I'm not addressing the parking for the ADU.
I'm saying that there would be literally no parking for the inhabitants of the units that we're building now, plus the ADUs, because presumably the only place to park the cars is in the garage, with the exception of the guest, the three other spaces. But if those garages are no longer available as parking spaces, where are the owners of the units to park their cars? There's no other place on site.
Yeah, that's the issue that's created by state law. Yeah, it's not great. It's why we removed the garage parking requirement from the new zoning code, because we thought, provide your parking spaces outside the setback on your lots so this doesn't happen.
Forgive me, because I guess I was misinformed, because I thought, I understand there's no parking requirement for the ADU, but certainly if creating the ADU created no parking space on the property for anybody living there, that was prescribed. I'm wrong on that.
No, that is literally state law.
Just that is state law.
State law, yeah. The state is concerned about housing. It's not concerned about parking.
Right. The point is to get housing, and it overrides local regulation.
Yeah, unfortunate as it may be, you know, in scenarios where you have these types of things, not ideal for sure. But yeah.
Does that law also override CC&Rs?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
So, commissioners, I'm going to take a five-minute break right now, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask for your opinions. And so we'll come back at exactly 7:30.
Well, he won't go for that.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for that brief pause. So, commissioners, this is our chance to raise additional questions, to highlight what's been said by the public, and to make your comments, and see if we can pull some of these issues together. Who would like to start? Joe, thank you.
Yes. First of all, I applaud the design in terms of all the things that I see in the plan in terms of the variation in the facades and the various roof lines. And it's a very attractive project, I think. And I applaud the fact that it is providing more housing in Morro Bay. At the very least, the increased supply should have some effect on the rate of appreciation in value. So if somehow lessening the inflationary cost of housing, and that will help overall. And certainly the one that it's designated as affordable housing will be immeasurably helpful. The parking, I'm more than sympathetic to the parking. I realize it's a problem. I'm hopeful that it should, if it becomes a really overbearing problem in the future because of this project, that we can do something meaningful about it. But when I balance the two things, the inconvenience presented by additional parking requirements and the absolute need for more housing in this community, it's no question what is the greater need. I wish, but I at this point can't think of any creative way, and maybe my colleagues can, I wish we could incentivize the sale or the rental of these properties, whichever the applicant chooses, incentivize that they go to owners or renters who actually live in Morro Bay and are not simply procuring these things as second homes. And I welcome any suggestions as to how we might do that sensitively and legally. And finally, with respect to the public garden, not public garden, the triangular piece at the end, as one of the speakers mentioned, I suspect that a public garden or a publicly maintained garden, actual garden, is not going to work very well. I would opt that the owners or the manager of the property simply do a nice job of landscaping that area and make it more attractive to the community.
Nancy, could you pull up the landscape plan for the project for everybody? Joe, other comments, or should we keep going?
No, I think that's all that I have.
Asia?
Just also to respond to some of Commissioner Graffia's comments, and for our thinking, there are ways that other new developments in Slo County have first sold to local residents, local workers, and then, you know, by choice, developers by choice, it seems like, have first sold to local residents and then to the wider public. Mm-hmm. Avila Ranch is an example of that in San Luis. So it might be worth at least discussing, I guess. But
make sure you're speaking into them.
Sorry. I just wanted to make a comment on parking as a burden. While I definitely understand in all of our neighborhoods here in Morro Bay, parking is a burden and extra parking being a stress, I would hope that by having actual homes and residences here and having more eyes on the street and having more people in what is partially a blank space, hear that some of the negative parking issues, having abandoned vehicles or having maybe people's trailers or other sort of longer term issues, well, some of that I would hope would be alleviated by using this space to its fullest and by having permanent residents there and by improving the block in general. So I just want to make that comment. But I also am in support, really in support of what I think is going to be a type of development we see more often going forward, these live-work spaces. And then my final comment is just on the garden area. I'm kind of with Joe. I don't think it just has to be landscaping, but keeping it at least, and I think this is true, keeping it at least within the purview of the residents there and the responsibility of the residents there is necessary, which I think was part of it. It's not just going to be a open thing.
Asia, thank you. Mike, would you like to go next?
Can I defer to Commissioner Meyer first? And then
of course.
Yeah, thank you, because I know he's going to have a lot.
I have a reputation, huh?
Yes, well, I listen to what you're saying.
After listening to the neighborhood, my suggestion first off would be that the landscape area on the peninsula be landscaping around additional parking. And we create whatever we can in that spot as until the city decides it wants to put a sidewalk and curb and gutter and do something else at that intersection, that additional parking for this development, although not required, would be a condition of trading of the offset where we're giving them this extra right of way. Is that something we could do?
Let me ask real quick. Maybe the architect, Jerry, isn't the slope pretty severe on that piece?
I parked on it today.
Did you? But is it per code? Not that Eric can't park.
You could put a hardy, you could put a little block wall in there. I'm not saying anything more than a 30-inch wall, you know, a very cheap, inexpensive landscape wall.
If the city wants to do that, then that's the city's purview. You know, we're part of this issue is according to the development plans, just on Alessandro, I'm putting in over 400 linear feet of curb, gutter, and sidewalk, just on the Alessandro side. You know, if that's wrapped around, then that's, you know, about 800 linear feet of curb, gutter, and
sidewalk. So let's keep it focused. What we're talking about is
asking
for something different parking. My concern would be, does that actually take... This is public space, and what's being offered right now is an in-between.
Okay, so right at the very apex of the corner,
yeah,
there's a 2.5-foot grade separation where it is from asphalt to asphalt right now. As it comes back to where the fence line is, which essentially is going to be the property line, that's almost a 10.5-foot grade separation over a 15-foot distance. So you could put a retaining wall there. You would then have to put guardrails and 42.5.
We're trying to keep this simple. So, you're saying is it's not easy, and it's you would have easy. To do it per code. It's not like you can park on a slope. Yeah. You just can't.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. It's... The easiest thing is to put a garden in. You know, that's and the,
okay. Let's keep it going. Eric, other questions?
Are there any other questions while I'm up?
Not just yet.
Thank you.
We talked the applicant and I earlier with respect to a condition, an additional condition, and that additional condition was noticed via the CC&Rs, or if it's an apartment, some other. Notice, if it's a rental rather, to the owners that they're living in an industrial zoning, and that they would need to that they're essentially put on notice that they're in an industrial zone. There are going to be smells, there are going to be noises, there are going to be dusts, et cetera, associated with industrial uses, and that's not something they can complain about because they live in that zone. And if they can only complain about something that goes above and beyond the noise limit, goes above and beyond the dust standards, whatever those might be. But just to come in, essentially, it's like an airport. You don't want to have, you know, the residents around an industrial use shut down the industrial use over time, because this town, industrial uses are being invaded on all sides. They're being invaded by housing. They're being invaded by marijuana dispensaries. They're being invaded by cars with private guys with private car collections, you know, buying warehouses. And slowly but surely, all the contractors and plumbers are no longer here in town. They're moving to Napomo, and they're moving to places like. I'll get off my high horse, but I just want to protect the industrial zone to some degree with some sort of condition that they add a notice to their residents via the CC&Rs. I might have said that if it wasn't a condo or if it wasn't something, an association type of situation, I would have said we need to record a notice such that the notice tracks with the sale on the land. But in that there are CC&Rs, if it's for sale, then we would just put them there. I think that would be fine. And then there was some other discussion around at your previous meeting, which I watched on YouTube, around the idea of public retail in these locations. And that's why I was asking the question, is retail a legal use in these areas? And the staff has already advised me, no, it's not really a legal use. But in that it might be artist lofts or something like that, the uses that you would have in any residential sort of zone, an artist living there would still be able to have on that second Tuesday in November or whenever the artist's walk is, the open studios, they could still use these as any other, I presume. And I guess I'm asking staff, they could be used like any other home for open studio purposes. Wouldn't preclude that sort of use.
No, I think you're correct.
Is there any, you guys have any thoughts with respect to the condition of industrial use notification?
I think if you wanted to add it to the, to have us add it to the CC&Rs, that's fine. I mean, you're just recognizing the fact, and then all of the people that purchased the units would have the CC&Rs, and so the notice would be in there.
This would be a voluntary condition?
I think it's just a factual statement that we haven't put in there.
So, information.
But this is not coming in our direction.
So we're not demanding anybody do anything. We're just telling them this is the facts. Here's what they can't say otherwise.
Yeah, we have performance standards for the different uses in town, and that relates to noise and dust and garbage.
So you're comfortable with that?
I don't think
coming
it's that big
from the city.
I'm okay with that. I don't think it's a big deal. Yeah,
it's been done before. It's been done in other jurisdictions.
Okay.
Back to the parking thing. What the state has pushed down on the cities of California over the last few years has really changed our ability to manage things here, and it's created housing, yes, but it's also created a lot of public misunderstanding, and the public is mad at us and mad at the city, but it's really nothing we've done. So the parking standards are this quagmire right now, and they are tricky for us to try to figure out how to resolve. That's why I was pushing for parking on the slope in the Triangle Park area. But I don't know how to proceed with that. Because when you go through that neighborhood in the afternoon on a Sunday, it's not so. You have to go through that neighborhood right when it happens, when it's busy. And I haven't found that neighborhood myself. I don't go through that area very often, just not on my route through town. So the times that I've been there, I have seen cars parked in those side streets, and I had to weasel around through some cars on Marengo. I myself parked right by the little shop that's on this property, and I was myself parked out in the middle of the street, essentially, and cars had to drive around me. So I really get this parking situation there, and I'm trying to figure a way to find some interim solution, and I don't know what that is. And I would hope that if the city decides to redevelop that corner, whatever they do in the future, if there is indeed curb, gutter, and sidewalk, I don't know why this neighborhood would even want curb, gutter. I see the curb I can see, but the sidewalk stuff.
I mean, we can make a recommendation to Public Works to consider that.
I just think that parking probably seems like a more logical choice in that. If we did pave that intersection the way I think the city standards would make us do it, this huge intersection. It's 100 feet across from the top of Marengo.
Scott,
to the bottom
any
of
reason Valley. We could not make a recommendation, Eric, to Public Works? What do you think?
To
consider parking in that triangle with future development. But again, that's, you know, nobody knows when that happens.
Yeah,
but
that's the quandary.
I mean, it can be, if you make the recommendation, we can put it in there. That can be a recommendation from the Planning Commission. Yeah, I mean, it's not. The city's not compelled to do it, but I mean, it is something. It is nice to have things. And like I often, as an example, we oftentimes put memos and files about things that we want to see happen in the future or conversations that we've had internally. So future me's will know, and so that's actually helpful.
It is the outcome of what we've heard from the public, so I do think it's reasonable to put it in there. I'm still not convinced I quite understand the dynamic between this project and in Public Works, so that's probably one of the things I want to follow up on. But Eric, anything else?
Yeah, the edge of pavement on the north side of Marengo, I wasn't quite able to ascertain the edge of pavement as relates to the setback of the buildings. I know there's measurements according to the edge of the street and so forth, but when it actually comes down to what's on the ground now, the pavement that's on the ground now, do we know what that distance is from the edge of pavement to the front of these units? I'm sorry I didn't ask this question to you guys ahead of time.
Yeah, the architect has his hand raised.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we invite you up?
That would be a good solution.
For practical purposes, it's approximately 15 feet. There's a curb that is in well into the right of way. I mean, there's basically a traffic lane, and where there would normally be parking, curbside parking, is dirt, and then there's another 5 feet. So it's for practical purposes approximately from the face of that curb to
gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I guess there's this battle between the value of the parking and the value of the setback and landscaping and so forth, and which trumps which, or do we weave it in and out to create more parking? You know, is that even our purview? Is that public?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things, and it's hard for the public to sort of understand, is we don't get to design projects.
Right.
That's not what we do here.
Okay.
What we do is we do our best to sort of understand what the regulations, the codes are, what our opportunities are to improve a project if we can do it within our authority.
I have one more.
One more? Okay.
And that's about who determines whether this is a low income or very low income unit?
We conditioned it to be low or below. I mean,
city staff.
City policy?
No, that's the one we came up with as low.
So we could change that.
You could.
Okay. Thanks,
Mike.
Yes. Thanks for speaking before me. Commissioner Meyer, but I want to clarify. At the beginning, I wrote my notes. I said 5 residential units, 1 affordable unit, 2 live-work units, mixed use. That's what this is, right? I was getting confused between do we have 5 or 6 units being built? Those are my notes.
There are 5.
Yeah.
2 of the 5 have live-work spaces within them.
Okay.
1 of the 5 is going to be deemed affordable and deed restricted.
Okay, good. So that's clarification for me and the public. So that's...
Can I jump on that real quick?
Sure.
Is there some, and this is maybe for the architect and applicant as well, is there some reason that it's 5 and not 6? Is 6 changed to some other financing structure? My curiosity? Or was it parking? Or what was it?
Probably all of the above, but it's a tight site, and so they worked really hard to get these 5 units on the site and meet all the criteria. I think they also wanted, and they can speak more to this if they want to, but they wanted family size units on the site.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So the next thing I'd like to say is appreciate Commissioner King's comment. You know, I really believe we will see more of this. We're not going to see less of it. We're going to see more of it, as well as Commissioner Ingraffia about the need for more housing in Morro Bay. I mean, we need this. I mean, and the fact that it's in a transitional area makes it even more almost the best of both worlds if you're trying to do something. If you look at, go out there, look at it, walk it a half an hour, 40 minutes, and think about what's there and think about what's being presented as potentially could be there. Five more housing units. And I think Commissioner Ngroffi got it right about housing does trump parking. You know, because the state is putting so much pressure on us to develop more housing, I don't think it's going to be the kind of impact that could happen if we weren't to do this. I like the fact that it's mixed use. That's letting this happen as well, the fact that it's in a transitional mixed use area. You know, so if you walk it again, you're going to see residential on one side and industrial on the other side. I mean, I don't think that's a major change other than being transitional. It's right in the middle. So I like the fact that the developer came forward with a plan to use the triangular area and landscape it. They didn't have to do that, right? They could have just left it blank and just let it go and left the weeds, right, Scott? They didn't have to do any of that. They came forward with that proposal. So thank you. Appreciate that. The other thing I'd like to, though, pursue is the fact regarding the stop sign. I don't want to let that go. So if we do move forward with this, I'd like the city staff to look further into the stop sign and the need, do that study you were talking about, city engineer. You know, initiate some kind of study for a stop sign, because it would, we're going to have more people there, more traffic. So I want to potentially see that. I'm not saying condition it. I'm just saying let's study it.
Okay, we can certainly, you know, give some consideration to it. I think, you know, yeah, we can't put stop signs in, sure, that are not warranted, because it creates liability issues for the city.
Yeah.
And that area certainly doesn't really get enough traffic to probably meet anything close to warrants for a you know, controlled intersection in the form, mm-hmm, of a stop sign.
Yeah.
But we certainly can take a look at it.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to keep it off of the condition list and make it more of a let's continue to study it, and it will go to council, so I'm sure there will be others that go forward to council and say these kind of things anyway, so we might as well start studying it now. Thank you. That's it.
I'd like to offer some comments, and then commissioners, I think I want to open this up for an action. Mm-hmm. But thanks to the public again. I've been a planning commissioner for quite a while. The number one comment we always get is parking. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever trumps parking. It's the number one comment. Linda mentioned how everybody takes a garage and fills it with stuff, and then the car ends up on the street. Again, the number one comment, Morro Bay is not unique. This is, you know, California. This is the way it is. We have limited impact as a commission on those kinds of issues. The good news that comes out here today is that under the strategy that the applicant has taken, we're going to get more parking rather than less. Mm-hmm. If he had done it as a condominium project, we would have had three cars less. I think that's an advantage. I think what's come out here today is that out of the five units, two of them are live-work. They gave us the sizes, the numbers. One is an affordable unit, entirely affordable, and that's regulated and deed-restricted. And then the other two are regular units. What that is it's some of the concerns around live-work is that's only, you know, a fraction of the project, less than half. I think the other thing that becomes clear is, and I'll offer this as my advice as a commissioner, this is a thoughtful project. Mm. I can't tell you how many projects are kind of put in not with the same sort of concern and awareness. I think the idea of the transition project is real in this case. I think it'll provide a decent buffer, and I think it will actually, I'm knocking on wood, I think it's going to improve the neighborhood. I really do. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because of the design, the thought that's gone into it, and everybody has a right to their property. We all know that. And the balance of this group and the public is to sort of respect and support that and to get the best projects we can. I think that not only did the uses work here for me, but the architect has done a really pretty good job on the massing, the way the project fits the site, the generosity of a landscape corner there until something happens. Again, I struggle with the public works idea that this can be postponed indefinitely, but I understand why. The question is that, you know, what are we getting back for all of that and the request and the cost? So I guess I'm trying hard here to try to find alternatives. It's not our job to, you know, to redesign a project. And what I see here is mostly commissioners. I think it's a good effort. With that, other comments? Joe.
Again, returning to this notion of incentivizing the rental or sale of these properties ultimately to people who are actual residents or intend to be residents of Morro Bay, I can only suggest that, to the applicant that he think about that value, and perhaps when all this is said and done and it's ready to go into rental or sales, that perhaps there's a brief window be given to the would-be buyers or renters, a priority for people who live in the area. I realize you've built this project and you've got to make it work, but maybe we could give a first chance to people who live here. I just offer that as a suggestion.
So Joe, Asia wants to suggest. Are you ready to make a motion?
No, I'm just wondering, as a planning commission, could we condition that for a certain time period?
We don't have a city attorney here, but Scott?
Yeah, those are difficult things since we don't have policies in our codes that try to give us direction. Mm-hmm. I think also if that's where you want to go, it'd be worthwhile having the applicant come back up here and just like maybe talk to him a little bit about that and what that would look like. You don't want to do something that makes a project infeasible because they can't find a buyer. How long do they have to like try to pursue folks that are in this area? You know, like, as soon as it's built, you know, I mean, the finances of a project like this are pretty thin, and you need to start probably getting them on the market is my guess. So
what I would suggest, Asia, this is not the forum to take that on a specific project. I think it's difficult to do, if not unfair.
We could write policy in the future that would create the mechanism, but without the policy, you don't have a mechanism.
I think a future agenda item where we could get some legal counsel on that would be definitely warranted. So
under new business, we might take that up. And I'd also like to talk with Public Works about how many cases we have out there, you know, with pending improvements, and if there's other ways to possibly handle that. So not a discussion about this project, mm-hmm. but I think one of the difficulties I have here is that process.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's unusual, again, for Morro Bay. I see this happening quite often.
We have it here. We had the same situation when I was in Pismo Beach. This is not an uncommon practice, mm-hmm. I guess.
Right. Yeah. I'm open for a motion.
Yeah, I want to make a comment, then I'm going to make a motion.
All right.
I just want to say that this is the second time this applicant's been before this commission. They came before us. They took all of our input. I think they did a great job in redesigning the project. So I think it's gotten a lot better, and we've gotten a lot more detail. So I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 13-23 to approve the conditional use permit, the coastal development permit, and the vesting tentative tract map together with approval of the requested abandonment of the portion of the right-of-way.
And any conditions? There was one that Public Works do consider additional parking in that triangle.
That's one.
I don't want to hold up the project because I thought I heard, right, that's not within the scope, and we would hold it up next.
It's no more than a recommendation.
It's for consideration. So
that's fine. Okay. Just like my additional study for a stop sign, that's a recommendation, right? That's not holding up the project. That's my concern, not hold up.
Yeah, the second amendment to the motion would be.
Could you make clear? I'm not sure I understand that one, the industrial condition.
It's essentially notification tenants and or purchasers of these units that they are in an industrial zone, mm-hmm. and there may be smells, noises, dusts associated with those uses allowed in an industrial zone, and those
are typical in that zone.
Okay. Staff, any problems with that?
So I think we talked about that being a condition that they include a disclosure to that effect in the CCNRs.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, and I would accept that.
That's fine. We would. So CCNRs are going to their CCNRs are going to have a section that can't be modified without city approval, okay. And we'll insert it in that location for their CCNRs. Yeah. So.
I actually like that idea because I live under CCNR, so I like that idea.
Those
so,
friendly amendments yep. are acceptable?
Yep.
Do I have a second?
The other thing I would like, to, as opposed to just telling Public Works that the parking lot idea in that triangle is the only option for that triangle, I think that if this area does indeed have a park, many areas where you have these unusual adjacencies, you have industrial next to residential, that's not a very common adjacency. Usually it's, you know, there's some layerings in there of office or some minor, but in many urban areas where you have residential up against the commercial uses, parking is the issue, and that's why they have parking districts, that's why they have parking meters, et cetera, I would say that, or any other parking solution for the neighborhood, rather than just that one parking solution, any other solution should be on the table. I don't mean
we have to be real specific now. We're making a motion. So what do you want to say?
The using the triangle for additional parking or creating some other parking solution for the neighborhood.
Okay.
And that would
be
recommended.
So I can just add on to the end of it or other parking solution for the
yep.
area. Is that acceptable? Okay.
I think we've got a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Any final comment?
Do you want to have any discussion about, forgive me for belaboring it,
please.
But privately funded and the sculpture that's going into that public space, is that something that the city or we should have any say-so over, or is a sculpture of Tallulah the Mermaid okay, or that we never have seen, or is it more dolphins or more pelicans? What is it? You know, like this, most public sculpture created by private individuals is subjective, right? And there's public opinions about that sculpture, and sometimes those opinions run strong. I'm just kind of trying to believe.
What if we, just to move things along, what if we add a condition where this would be brought, what would be public review of the sculpture, the art piece? What kind of public process could be considered?
Could we delegate it to Scott to make sure?
So we would review it as part of their plan.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
administrative approval?
Yeah, we do that for a lot of the murals you see in town, right? We don't require permits for them because we like them.
Yeah.
We do ask that they give us, you know, what they're going to look like and what's going to be on them. So they don't actually.
Similar, very similar thing.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at, yeah.
Give it to Scott. Scott,
for Eric, review. Are we close?
I'm sorry, guys, but I don't necessarily agree that city staff is the best judges of art. I would suggest that it would be an artistic group of some sort that would make the approval process, and my suggestion would be that it would be something like the Art Association of Morro Bay. I don't want to get this into the weeds too far, but it just seems odd to me. I may or may not agree that some of the murals around town aren't the best mural in the whole world, and I think that's pretty subjective stuff, and it needs probably more formal adjudication.
Do we have a current process for like publicly used, privately owned spaces that could apply?
We have an adopt-a thing program where you can adopt areas in town. We have that. That simply goes through the Public Works Department. That's about the closest I can get to you. We don't have a formalized like public art program. A lot of cities do. We don't have one, so we don't have any parameters to go along with it.
Well, again, I'm not going to belabor it. I'm going to leave it to city staff at this point, and I'll come back with some suggestions about a public art program.
My guess is, and just shake your head, Jerry, you would be amenable to input. Yes, thank you.
And just. Jerry, I think you have a great project. Forgive me for beating it up. That's my job. I do have a lot of empathy for the neighborhood on the parking situation, and so we're going to have to just, because of the state requirements, that just plays out.
Mm. Do I have a second?
Joe?
Yes, I will second that and vouch again. I'm I don't favor adding another layer of decision making, so I'm quite in agreement that it should be kind of an administrative decision one way or another. I second.
Thanks.
I'm going to ask one last amendment.
This has to be the last.
It doesn't have to be. I have all the purview in the world, but this is going to be the last amendment of mine. I brought up the idea that this commission could choose what affordability this affordable unit is at. That's not necessarily subjective to the staff. That's if we determine, it's arguable, it's debatable here. And my suggestion would be that the housing is needed in Morro Bay is below low. It's very low. And no, people won't. He's not going to like me for this.
For what it's worth, I won't support that. Us up here making that decision today with this motion. I think staff puts thought into it. I think the applicant has been part of a long process. And for us to reconsider and redesign that up here is not something I can support.
And the rest of you are in agreement?
My only thought is needing a lot more information on what those parameters are for Morro Bay, or just being able to see them right now, and then also how that has impacted the decisions for the design of the project. My only thought.
Yeah, I lack even a foundation for this, and I'm hesitant to drag this out. Using the word drag,
yeah,
it hasn't been dragged out, but to elongate the process. It's something I'd like to consider for the future,
mm-hmm.
You know, but when we know this is coming down the line, we should think long and carefully about that, but I'd be satisfied with leaving the category as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a motion in place?
Mm-hmm.
Scott, would you poll the commission, please?
Commissioner Graffia?
Yes.
Commissioner Meyer?
No.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Chair Roshan?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion passes. Thank you all for your patience. This was not an easy project for us, and we thank you for your help.
Didn't listen to anything we said about traffic. You guys kept talking about parking. Traffic is a safety issue. You guys ignored it.
Commissioners, new business. Do take what we just learned and let's apply it. And I guess in terms of new best business, I'm very interested, while Eric is still here with us, to sort of see if we could agendize a discussion around street improvements and get an idea of how many are on deed restriction, how many are pending, and to look at other ways we might be able to engage. I think that was one of the big problems for this process. And one of the things that I think is important for the commission to do is we can find difficulties in projects that we're going through. It's very difficult to solve it in a project,
mm-hmm.
Because it is a policy change.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'd like to suggest that we agendize a discussion around public street improvements.
I'll work with the Public Works Department, Eric et al. Over here, to bring something back to you.
And I'd like to see if there's any way to tie that into, we have a, what is the element we have? Not a transportation element, what do they call it?
The circulation element?
Circulation element and bike paths, and see if we can kind of get a feeling between the two. And then what else we were going to look at, if you want to look at the affordability issue and sort of discuss about, Scott, just see what we can do to get more accountability in terms of how we set the affordability level in required housing.
I think we certainly can have a conversation about what those levels are. It's based on county median area income. And I can go over a little bit of what we did internally related to this project, and how I at least view that. I mean, certainly the commission doesn't need to share my sort of penchant for it, but be worthwhile to have that discussion, and get your take for it too. Because as projects come forward in the future, it'd be good to understand where the commission comes down on these things, and you can kind of understand how I look at them, and crafting conditions related to that. affordability. So.
Okay, so if we could agendize that.
I was Asia? Also, like, maybe during that discussion we could review our housing element and I guess just go into more depth with some of the housing stuff, make it a wider housing discussion.
How can we set a scope? What are you thinking?
We've just kind of brought up a couple things in the last couple meetings, you know, things about new laws, understanding definitions of housing affordability, and I'm not sure, but maybe leaving some space and then coming up with a specific agenda for that time would be great.
So let's say we dedicate, how much time? Can we dedicate like a half hour to it and then?
Max, yeah.
And then from that, if we see more stuff, we can then agendize it again.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's helpful to get direction from the commission about like how we move something forward or don't move something forward, right?
That sounds good.
And can I just make a comment, Commissioner?
Mike.
Chair Roshan. After I left the last meeting, I said, so when's the governor's last day to sign laws? September 15th, this session. It changes every session. September 15th is the drop-dead date to sign laws, including the one we're kind of focusing in on. So that might be, you know, either we're going to get it or we're not going to get it. Did he sign it already?
So it's interesting. You know, I mean, yeah, it is typically the last day they sign legislation, except, you know, they've declared a housing emergency, so we can pretty much sign legislation as it relates to addressing that concern anytime.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes. So I
but
think
this yeah, is actually legislation. He can do anything as a, you know, on a, what would he call it? You know, he has that.
Yeah,
that authority is the governor, but this is legislation. The last day for legislation is, you know what I mean? It has to move by September 15th.
Yes, typically that.
Or else he can do whatever he wants.
That was used to doing anyway.
So.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to
anything else?
I think we should discuss
Eric?
At some point. I have a discussion around art in public places and a committee or some other agency that might be best associated with making those sorts of subjective decisions.
Let me ask Scott, how do we even go about that? Is there anything in town that we're aware of? Do we need to do research before we have that agenda item?
The committee for...
I think, you know, as far as the art and public places thing, you know, the determination of whether to create a policy or not is the purview of the city council. But I think, you know, I think the planning commission has sway there, right? You know, if the planning commission is interested in something along those lines, that could be something that the planning commission brings forward. You're going to have a joint meeting with the city council coming up here in September. Maybe we're going to be talking about a number of things at that meeting, so I don't know how much room there's going to be for some of this stuff, but I think in the future that's kind of where maybe some of this stuff lives.
So what do you think, Eric, if we – let's do a 15-minute thing on it and put it on the agenda for an upcoming meeting so we'd be prepared for the city joint council meeting, commission meeting.
Yeah, I'm in the process of kind of framing the stuff that we have to put together.
So at least we could get a little shape to it because right now –
the scope is essentially whether or not to create a committee. That's all there is to the discussion. There's not any more discussion than that.
Okay, so 15 minutes would do. Okay. Others, are we good? Unfinished business? I did want to bring up one thing. Bill Martini, Martin, how do you say that?
Martini.
Yes, thanks. He brought up a concern about a request for a proposal on the waterfront. Scott, the three houses, I think, at the end, they're...
I think there's three units, two lease sites. There's three lease sites at the end that the Harbor released a request for proposal on. Two of them have those units on it, and then there's the third one is a little tiny vacant one that's like postage stamp size that's undeveloped at the south end there. And that's to seek proposals to redevelop the property. I believe the RFP is closed. Didn't actually get to look at it before I came here. Give me one second, I'll look. I think it closed a little while ago, actually. Let's see. Oh. Looking at it here. Oops.
October.
because it's open till October still? Yeah, it is. It doesn't close until October October 12th. Sorry.
So I'm out there for longer than that. I'm curious because, you know, I don't know their pedigree, but they look old. what is their historic significance there? What do we know what year they were?
We have, I believe the harbor department has some information as to what they used to be. And that type of thing. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't have the document.
Could you come back to us with that, or I'd like to know, just so we get an idea of what it is and what's going on. Joe?
Yeah, that's particularly relevant because I seem to recall there was a kind of a formal recitation that there was a policy on the part of the Harbor Department to maximize the return on their leases, which is overall fine and good, but there might come some exceptions when a particular property we feel has some significant historical or cultural value where that maximization might not be the only or the best value.
And right now there's no ordinance in place. It would sort of be up to staff and maybe with the focus of this commission to even ask for that review.
It would come as part of any development application that we would do there for sure.
Yeah, but at that point that's pretty far down the line. Anyhow, if we could get a more a little more information.
I believe the Harbor Department has some. I know we don't have much in our files because we were looking at them a little while ago when they were going out for the RFP, and the cupboards were a bit bare on our end. So
great. That's all I have for unfinished business.
Yeah, can I ask one question?
Please.
Because I was walking with my girlfriend last night. We ran into this sign. It said 16 townhomes to be approved. 16 townhomes to be approved on 41, near
over by you.
Yeah, and I'm all like, really? And I took a big swallow and I said, I may not even be able to be part of that discussion because I live right there too. So I was just wondering, how did this pop up and when did I had never heard of it?
We do have applications in for it. It's on the tracking log.
Okay.
We met with them a little while ago. It had been paused for a while. I don't know if they're moving forward. They have some significant cultural resource issues over there. And
yeah.
I think they're trying to figure all that out. So.
Because this is the first time I've seen this sign.
I think they're still discussing with Caltrans or something, as I recall.
There's a few things going on over there.
All right.
It's not a simple project, and I don't think.
I just wanted to ask about it. Thanks.
Quickly anyway.
Okay, commissioners, future agenda items.
Perhaps a discussion around live-work, because there seems to be some ambiguity in this town about what live-work is, and work-live and live-work.
Let's tie that into the housing discussion.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eric. Others? Scott, development director's comments.
I don't have anything else for you other than there's going to be that joint meeting with the city council in September. And I think we have some direction related to what the topics are going to be discussed there. I'll share that with the Planning Commission when that's finalized.
Is our next meeting the Objective Design Guidelines meeting?
Correct. Yes.
And just to be sure, are we going to get some materials in advance that we can review?
I mean, it's going to come to you in the normal time frame. I mean, that was going to come with you on Thursday before the meeting.
And I'd like to encourage the commissioners to do homework, take a hard look at it, so that we can be prepared for the meeting to respond. I don't want to digest it during the meeting. I think we've already worked really hard at it. So I guess that would be my encouragement. And there will be the work that we've done to date will be incorporated from the consultant.
So how we did it is how we did the general plan update and how we did the zoning code update. And so you're going to get a couple things. You're going to get the track change version of the edits to the policy. And then you're going to get the errata sheet that goes with it, which is comments that you've made, changes that have been made in response to those, or why changes have not been made.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and that'll probably be the basis. The errata sheet will be the basis of the presentation that we give to you. And then as you want to look at the policies, we'll be able to bring them up to show you them on the screen if you want to go line by line through them or something. So.
Love it.
Sorry.
Commissioners.
Could you clarify which date in September? Which meeting will be the joint meeting?
I believe, let me get my calendar here. That is 26th, I think. But I'll send out, I'll confirm that with an email to you guys, but I believe it's the 26th.
It'll be in the second half of the month, though. It won't be the first meeting.
No, it's the, I believe it's the 22nd. I might be able to, like, I was trying to open up the tentative agenda thing.
Yeah, and one of the things I know, though, for Commissioner King's benefit is the fact that it was going to be before the council's meeting, right, Scott?
So yes, it was going to be early. It was going to be
before the council's
meeting. Yeah.
It's a special meeting, so we're not. It's not going to be on our schedule necessarily, and it'll be earlier because I know you work. So,
yeah, I'd love to find out the date.
Give me one second here, and I wasn't able to open it a second ago, but now I got it open. So just give me a second here. I'm bringing the calendar up. So yeah, they have that as the tentative date. I think the next step for the clerk's office was to pull all of you and the council to make sure there's everybody's available. So, okay. I'm sorry, what? 26th.
What time?
That's not on here yet. I believe they're going to pull you guys again.
Okay.
So,
what date is the 26th?
September 26th.
Oh.
Which is a regular city council meeting, but you would just be meeting earlier.
Oh, got it.
Likely idea. But I don't believe, I'm not sure, I'll probably be able to find out tomorrow during staff meeting.
So with that, I want to thank Ken. Thank you for being here. Eric, thank you for being here with us. And I'll thank the guys in the back, Anthony, Ray, and Chris, commissioners. And thank you for everybody who has hung in here with us. The few that are left, thank you very much. Not an easy hearing today, commissioners. We are adjourned.